train, Lord. Oh, mommy, love you, but me nah come back. Stand up at the station with me suitcase packed. Y'all, me love you, but me nah come back. But tell me right now, this minute, whether you're coming or not. Stand up at the station at about 6 o'clock. Rain it a pour a lightning, start to flash. I man wonder to me, say, whether she coming or not. Or it's about time, my man, wake up and face the fact. When she find a new love, and it's all in her back. That is why I'm standing by myself on a railroad track. Booty, boof, boof, puff, heart a beat non-stop. There's no one that's our sign, are you coming back? Girl, woman, me love you, but me nah come back. Stand up at the station with me suitcase back. Girl, me love you, but me nah
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Can I play you some of the new things I've been doing, which I think could be commercial?
Hey, you're listening to CKT 90.3 FM, and this is All Things McGill.
Chaque jour et chaque nuit, baby, don't Ça va pas, mon vieux?
Ah, c'est la musique, c'est cette air-là. Vous pouvez pas savoir ce que ça représente pour moi, cette musique. Vous l'entendez, là?
Non, je l'entends pas.
Ah, ben, vous pouvez pas comprendre. Non, cette musique-là, moi, c'est toute ma vie. C'est... Wow! Cette musique-là, je l'entends. C'est... Hein? Il y a longtemps, j'étais chez moi. Et ça jouait. Et j'étais avec une femme. Belle, magnifique. Là. Oh! Alors, je lui ai pris la main. Et là, tout doucement, je passais ma main comme ça. Je dis, est-ce que vous m'aimez? La, la, la. Elle a dit non. Elle a dit non. Alors, j'ai acheté le disque. Et là, j'ai écouté, j'ai fait jouer la musique. Je l'ai écouté tout là. Waouh! Ça me faisait fou ce que ça me faisait, cette musique. C'était comme une hystérie collective à moi tout seul. Et là, je suis plus capable de l'entendre. Je ne veux plus. C'est insupportable. Vous l'entendez, là? Vous l'entendez?
Non, je ne l'entends pas.
Là, dites-moi tout de suite que je suis fou. Là. Non, ça va me faire du bien. Dites-le-moi, à moi, là. Vous êtes fou, dites-le-moi. Vous êtes fou.
Vous êtes fou.
Bon, ben je... J'aime mieux ça, c'est clair.
Shook the blind for some light, and they were laughing at me. crazy delusion. You know it shouldn't make any difference. I know I've got my back to you all. You know it shouldn't make any difference. So real I can reach out and touch it. So real that the light pushes past it. So real you can reach out and touch it. So real I can reach out and grasp it. So real I can reach out and touch it. So real that the light pushes past it. So real you can reach out and touch it. So real I can reach out and grasp it.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Annika. Welcome back to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is All Things McGill. Thank you very much for tuning in this morning. Maybe you are in the car. Maybe you are just hanging out. Maybe it's you're having an early lunch break. Wherever you are, I would like to thank you very much for tuning in to this episode because I am actually recording all on my own. I was requested by my dear co-host to perform a soliloquy on the air, and so thus I will be doing as such. Personally, I love to be abandoned by my co-host, so this is a really exciting opportunity for me to kind of flex my just talking chops. This is especially exciting because I've been thinking a lot recently about the phrase, oh, she just likes to hear herself talk, or he just likes to hear himself talk. Yeah, like pretty much, exactly, correct. That is me. And not so much that I like to hear myself like and listen back to it. Like I never listen to these shows because, or listen to them back because I don't like, nobody likes the sound of their own voice. You know, I'm not really about that. That's not my jam. But I love, like, I just think I'm like the smartest person on the planet. And like that might, obviously not, but you know what I mean? Like, I just think I'm very interesting and I think you all should listen to what I have to say. So this is very exciting for me in terms of that. Write in if you also are a narcissist. Yeah. So basically what I thought would be fun to do today, because it's just me, is, I have a diary that ranges from the time that I was in my, junior year, 11th grade of high school, until my last entry is March 18th, 2021. So this is quite a swath of time, and I thought it would be fun to go back and expose myself on the radio for what I was writing in my diary when I was 16 through 21. I don't think I'm going to go past 17, to be completely honest with you, because that would be brutally embarrassing, and now you would start to hear names that live in Montreal, etc. Oh, spoiler alert. So I was like, okay, never mind. I'll start with the high school stuff. But yeah, I thought it would be fun. My first entry here is from, July 26, 2017. Oh God, this is already so embarrassing. Okay, so I have this whole section about how, like, though I recognize that starting a diary / journal is, like, it feels like a sort of juvenile thing to do. I'm like, no, but like I'm doing it in a cool, ironic way. Which no, it's a journal. Like there's no way to journal in a cool, ironic way. You're just writing to yourself. So I have a whole section on that, which is exciting. And then I say, anyway, I'll get right to it. It's the middle of summer and I feel like I'm wasting my teen years. How up your own ass do you have to be to genuinely write that and like, and mean it in full sincerity at the age of 16? Like, did I think I was in a coming of age movie? What? Okay. And this is hilarious. I say, all I do is work, watch TV, read, listen to podcasts and sleep. I'm just lying. I don't think I was ever, I think anybody listened to two podcasts that entire summer, like two episodes of podcasts, not even two full podcasts. Like, I think I listened to Serial, which is like the entry podcast. That's the first podcast everyone listens to is Serial. And then you like, whatever, get over your true crime fixation and you move on to actual content. But that isn't like exploitative of, you know, actual dead people and their families. But that's an issue for another day. I carry on and I say, I'm not allowed to go anywhere or do anything. And even if I was, I would be not invited or busy working. Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny. Okay, I go on. I'm so bored all the time. I'm literally wasting away in a cycle of self-pity. Listen, and you can say a lot of things about 16-year-old me, but you cannot say she was not self-aware. She was very self-aware. Like, she's slaying. She's slaying, and she's very much boots in the self-aware department. Is it self-aware in, like, a good way? Like, in a productive way? No. Is it self-aware for the sake of being self-aware? Absolutely. Does that invalidate the self-awareness of it? Probably. I don't know. What do I say next? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay, this is hilarious. I say, I'm extremely excited to not have to deal with my family for two whole days. My parents were going away. This is funny because, like, my parents were so normal. Like, and I'm acting in this like they were, like prison guards. They were pretty normal parents. I then say, although I still can't really do anything adventurous because we all know how that turned out last time, SMH. That's funny. Okay, this is actually a funny story. So this is when I was 15 or 16. My parents had gone out of town with my sister and my brother on a camping trip or something, and they had left me at home alone. And I was far too nervous to do anything actually cool, like drink or throw a party or do anything like that. And so what I decided to do was just take one of my friends and just go, like, downtown. And this isn't, like, New York or L.A., where, like, downtown is, like, cool. This is Vancouver, so downtown is just, like it's just buildings. Like, there's not even people. It's just, like, there's a mall. Anyway, so we're downtown. It's, like, night, and we're, like, oh, my God, like, this city is, like, we didn't go to a club or a bar or anything because we didn't have fake IDs. And, like, everywhere you go in Vancouver, you need, like, two pieces of ID, and they always check. And so we weren't even going to try. Like, we weren't even going to attempt to get served anywhere. We just, like, we literally, I cannot explain to you how much we were just downtown, like, for the vibes. Like, we just wanted to sit on the street in the dark and, like, watch people. And in hindsight, this is so funny because this was, like, the most scandalous thing I had ever done at age 15. And I was so, so stressed about it. But I was like, okay, like, let's go downtown. I remember, like, purposely not setting the alarm when I left my house because I was like, I don't want there to be a record of me, like, not, like, setting it to away mode and then, like, not being in the house. And I was like, I thought I was so smart for doing that because I was like, oh, I tricked the system. Anyway, so I go downtown and, like, it is maybe 9:30 on, like, a Friday. And it is getting dark and we're just hanging out. And then we're like, okay, like, maybe it's time to head home. So we keep wandering around. We're, like, on the Granville Strip, if you've been to Vancouver. It's not, I don't know if it's just not as entertaining as other cities because I'm from there. And so I don't, like, find anything interesting with it anymore, or if it's just truly boring. But I think Vancouver is also notorious for having terrible nightlife, so probably it was just boring. But I was enthralled by it. We're walking around, and I get a text on my phone from my mom, who is supposed to, by the way, they were like, we're not gonna have service this weekend. That was a lie. Like, me when I lie, because they did have service. She texts me, where are you? Immediately, I am the SpongeBob caveman meme. I am like, foaming at the mouth, terrified. I'm like, oh fuck. She's like, she knows. Oh, sorry, I can't say that word on the air. Oh shoot. She knows, like, I'm screwed. I text her. This is the stupidest thing you can do as a teenager. If you're a teenager and you're listening to this for whatever reason, if you're doing something you're not supposed to do and your mom texts you, where are you? Just don't answer. Like, dead ass, just do not answer. Because I answered and I said home, which is am I stupid? Like, was I actually stupid? I'm like, I'm home. Why? Why did I? Okay, I was trying my best to act, like, so natural. Like, I don't know. I was like, oh, like, why do you ask, mom? Like, why? Where else would I be? Whatever. I'm like, I'm home. Why? She's like, send me a picture. Now, reader, this is where things start to get a little bit dicey, because I am very much not home. I am, and while there was nothing much to do downtown, like, to tell your mom I've gone downtown by myself, I'm 15, and, like, we're just hanging out at 9:30 on a Friday, like, on Granville Street, that would have been, like, a suicide for me. So I couldn't say that. So I was like, oh, God, I, like, challenged her. I was like, why? Why do you need a picture? And she was like, just send me a picture right now. And now at this point, I'm freaking out because, like, downtown is maybe a half-hour bus ride from my house. And so I was like, okay, like, there's no way I can get anywhere near home, like, within the next little while to justify that I am, in fact, like, not downtown. And so I start ignoring her messages. And I'm like, I said to my friend Malika, like, we gotta go now. We gotta start heading home right now. So we're walking, and I'm, like, trying to, like, stall her. And she's getting increasingly agitated as she's texting me, like, where are you? Like, send a picture, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, why? Like, you don't trust me? That, again, like, the stupidest possible thing I could have said in that scenario. Like, you don't trust me? Obviously, she was right to not trust me because I was, in fact, lying. So I don't know what my plan was there. We're waiting at this bus stop, and I'm, like, I have an anxiety disorder. I'm not doing well. Like, I am hyperventilating. I'm not having fun. She's like, send a picture. So I send a picture of me and my friend, and you can't really see anything in this picture. And I'm like, it's just dark. And so I say, like, just hanging out outside the house with Malika. Like, we're just chatting on the street. I send this hoping that it'll, like, buy me some time, because the bus at this point is late, and night buses at Vancouver in Vancouver, like, very notoriously do not run promptly, and they're supposedly every 45 minutes or half hour or whatever. They come maybe every hour and a half, like, tops, especially ones that are going from downtown to, like, basically the suburbs, which is where I lived. And so I was like, I just sometimes push her, try and buy, like, to buy myself some time, and I'm just standing at this bus stop waiting in high alert mode. Like, my body has entered fight or flight. Like, I am fully, like, the highest anxiety levels known to man ever recorded. I have anxiety levels basically like I am being chased by, like, a mythical beast of some kind, and all I'm doing is standing at a bus stop. So that's the scenario you can kind of picture me in. And this man approaches us. Immediately no. So I'm letting my friend deal with this, because she was, like, the wild girl of our high school. And this is saying a lot, because, like, the wild girl of our high school was just hanging out with me, like, on a Friday, like, downtown doing nothing illegal. So, you know, that's saying a lot about the circumstances under which I grew up. But I'm letting her deal with this man who's just approached us. He's very, like he's just talking. He's just chatting. He seems relatively normal. And so I'm like, okay, she can deal with this man. So I'm standing in the corner, like, freaking out, like, checking my phone every 5 seconds to see if she's responded, like, not knowing what to do next. And then I look over, and my friend and this man appear to be in a very heated discussion. And he's clamoring on about how his friends have abandoned him, how his family's abandoned him, how he has no support system. My friend is just, like, nodding and smiling, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, as teenage girls, this is how we're taught to be, like, polite and, like, nice and just, like, indulgent of people coming up to us on the street and talking to us, which is, I mean, the opposite of what we should be taught to do, because, like, 9 times out of 10, that, like, the people on the street do not have our best interests in heart. So, I mean, anyway, we're there. She's talking, they're having a very heated discussion, and he's getting, like, more and more agitated. And as he gets more agitated, obviously I too get more agitated, and I'm kind of like, Malika, like, let's go stand over here, like, let's move away. Is at this point that the man starts rapidly slamming his hand, like punching the glass of the bus stop, like, enclave, and he's just, like, smashing with his hands. We're like, okay. And we, like, we didn't run, and we didn't, like, there was no urgency. We just kind of were like, all right, and we walked away. And I think at this point, like, my body was so far into anxiety overdrive that, like, I was just processing things normally. I did a full 180 or 360, and I was just back to, like, being normal. That's how anxious I was. And so, like, I was like, all right, let's just walk away. So we're start walking away, and we're heading to the next bus stop. As we're heading to the next bus stop, yeah, you guessed it, the bus passes us. And so we do not catch the bus. My mother is now back on the phone. She is like, send me a picture right now. I don't believe you that you're just outside the house. Like, send me a picture with a street sign. I'm like, we're on a walk. She's like, okay, so a street sign, like, in our neighborhood. again, I am still 30 minutes outside of our home. And so we decide, okay, like, let's get a taxi. There's no Uber at this point. Vancouver did not get Uber until I was maybe my third year of university here, which was like 2 years ago. So like, there's no Uber. It's a taxi or bus. And like, you know, you guys know taxis. Like, you call a taxi, it is your best gamble whether they will even show up at all. And if they are going to show up, like, it's not going to be reliable. So we call a taxi and we're waiting for it. My mom is like just as mad as you can possibly be. She's like, send a picture now. This is when a miracle of God strikes. Another bus comes. Another bus that was not scheduled to come. It just pulls up. And I genuinely think that like a guardian angel must have sent this bus for me, because there is just no other plausible solution. No other plausible reason why the bus would arrive when it did. But thankfully it did. I get on the bus. I start hightailing it home. Like, I mean, hightailing it as much as you can when you're not the one in control of the bus and you're a 15-year-old girl, so you're not going to go up to the driver and be like, hey, hit it. Like, pedal to the metal, buddy. Balls to the wall. So, like, just sitting on the bus anxiously is basically what I was doing. Not necessarily hurrying in any fashion. Like, okay, so at this point, I've been talking, okay, this is an aside to the audience, if you will. At this point, I've been talking about this story for maybe, like, 10 minutes now. I've come to the realization only in the past few seconds that this is not interesting. So, very excited to hear the response to this one, especially from Rose when I send this to her to edit. And she's like, why did, like, what is this? Why did you tell this story? Nobody cares. It's like, wow, okay, and oh my God, this is so boring. Like, I don't even do anything in this story. Okay, but I have to finish it now. Anyway, I'm on this bus. The bus turns onto my street, like a street near my house. We're, like, still several, like, minutes away. We're, like, 20 minutes away still, but at least we're on the street that, like, has a sign that says the name of the street that is near my house. I can pretend maybe that, like, I'm near my house. We jump off the bus as it stops. We take a selfie with the sign and we hop back onto the bus. To this bus driver, wherever you are, I would sincerely and truly like to know what you thought we were doing. Because, like, I can't imagine how odd it must have looked. We're, like, freaking out in the back of the bus. We go to get off the bus, take a picture, like, take a selfie, and then hop back on the bus. And, like, he just keeps driving. And obviously, like, needless to say, he's seen weirder, but, like, I don't know what people must have thought we were doing. And there's no one on this bus because, like, it was not late enough for anyone to actually be going home from the bars. It was, again, like, 10 p.m. So we're driving, I'm sending this message, whatever, like, she's still freaking out. Finally, I get home, or not home, I get off the bus, and this bus stop is, like, a 10-minute, like, walk from my house. I start booking it, like, sprinting home as fast as humanly possible. At this point, I'm still texting her. I'm like, oh, like, 1 second, Malika dropped her earring and we're looking for her. Like, I'll text you in a second. What kind of lie is that? Like, oh, it doesn't even make sense. She dropped her earring. I can't text you. That's nonsense. I'm booking at home, and I'm not by any measure an athlete. Like, so my booking at home is like, basically, it's like a normal person's walking pace. This is not fast at all. Finally arrive home to my house. It has not been alarmed. I set that up I was going to get broken into. I wasn't. Like, there was nothing wrong with my house. No. That was really Chekhov's gun that just doesn't go off. Is that I didn't set the alarm and nothing happened. Get home, take a picture inside, say, home now. My mom was like, okay. And keep in mind that, like, they're away for the weekend, so they can't really do much, but they got home and they were like, I was like, I thought that I was in the clear because they weren't doing anything that night. They got home 2 days later and I was like, hey. And they were like, okay, so we were tracking your phone. And I was like, that makes perfect sense. They're like, yeah, so we could tell exactly where you were the entire time and we saw that you were lying and we just wanted you to say that you were lying. I was like, slay. And then I got grounded for like a month, which was awesome because my parents had never grounded me before and I was the eldest child and they didn't really understand the concept of grounding, much like in Mean Girls. And so I would say to my dad, like, hey, like, I'm going on a run. And he'd be like, okay. And then I would just go to like McDonald's and hang out with my friends for like an hour and a half and then come home and he'd be like, you don't look sweaty. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just like a really efficient runner. Yeah, so that's the end of that story. Yeah. I truly have nothing left to say. I hope that you enjoyed this. If you did, like and subscribe, you know? Maybe consider donating to CKUT because besties could use the money. Like, support local radio. I don't know. Love you guys. You're the best. This has been CKUT 90.3 FM. Monday morning, all things McGill. Please enjoy some lovely Sounds of Montreal music coming up next. And keep slaying. God, take a shot every time I say slay in this episode, and you will be admitted to the hospital for severe alcohol poisoning. I have been Annika. This has been All Things McGill. Thank you, and good morning.
Thank you. Sous l'ombrelle, et je vois. So color of you.
outside your window, but I.
Marine, kon kreye a kanyem, fè mirak la demen gelè. Ma konen pou ki sa yap trenè. Lè pou fè mou, se pou mache kon felè. Avan mal noye tèt, mwen non bol klerè. Fè menaj nan tèt fam, an plus mal chanje rad. Se pou sa, sa ma fè, se pou tèt fam. E famim ki apranti, men sa vle di m gon pitit. Mba jam la kay, m son bon nomad. Mba jam re tsu plas, yo kon re le pye poudre. Mwen kon la men, mwen pa jam ken bekras. Pil ou vas, ou vle paye, sa fè lontan mba gon chias. Chak jou men bagay, nou vin pou travail sous un champ de bataille pas vin pour piller c'est bon vai moi vin bye si on négatif ça m'a tout c'est bye bye
bye bye bye bye bye bye bye
bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye bye
Chita devant télé bol céréales nan même télé écrasé trop soufflette nan tête maman de grand maman pou ki sa wap kalel li gade m nan zoom li di m se pou diable en sorti lèm te timon yo te kon de visage m yo rele m nek charbon non mwen se nek marron chaîne ki te nan pied m li écrasé depuis longtemps kounya nan vidéo mais se nan kou nou men chaîne sac matériel li temporel femme sa si belle ou ta remel gon jimel ta vie tourne mou ki te max sequel m ap danse a konfam ma kon nouvelle semel
Got it. Mwen pa ke yap gade m biza, pou ple konen ki moun ki la biza, vwe mwen pa ka chita, gade ki jan ma pa wan ti ba, mpe yon la.
Thanks to everyone who donated to CKUT's annual funding drive. Your generosity truly helps keep our engines burning. It's never too late to donate. You can do so by calling 514-907-9424 or going to ckut.ca and hit the green Make a Pledge button at the top. All paid entries will be entered into a grand prize draw. You can pay your pledge and pick up your gift weekdays between 11 to 6 p.m. or by appointments. Call 514-907-9424. Thank you.